You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Boscarini.
Life in the fast lane, moving at the speed of life, and I can't slow down. Only got a gallon in the gas tank, but I'm almost at the finish line, so I can't stop now.
Back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL. Continuing our conversation right now with Roland Lazenby, one of the great sports biographers of our time. His most recent work is The Conversation Today. It hit stores back in October, right around the start of the NBA season. Showboat, the Kobe Bryant story. Roland, during that last segment, you mentioned that you had developed some sort of closeness with Kobe during the early stages of his career. What's your relationship like with Kobe today? Do you talk to him still regularly?
No, I have no relationship. I notified I was doing the book. And, you know, with Michael, I went and was able to tell him in person that I was doing the book. He helped me a bit, but he was not happy. No one likes a biography being done. After the book was done, Michael shook my hand, but I haven't had occasion to visit with Kobe since the book came out. I don't think he dislikes it. It's not a book that sets out to vindicate Kobe in a lot of ways. It has a, just like anything, it just sort of has a straight-on look at him. Some of it's harsh, but it's not. But I think there are things there, as Michael Jordan, the life in ways, it portrayed the harsh side of Michael, but it also humanized him in some ways. Was hard to do. And I think this book, Showboat, portrayed a lot of the harsh elements of Kobe Bryant, but it also humanized him and further explained how things happened and why they happened. For an awful long time, people thought he was just this spoiled, precocious kid demanding to go to the Lakers. That was none of Kobe's concern. That was all the concern of Adidas. They wanted him in the top market.
I've always wondered how a spectator, a media member, anyone could actually sit and talk down upon any aspect of Kobe Bryant's game, talk down upon any aspect of his competitiveness. Why is it? What was it about Kobe Bryant that struck people the wrong way?
Well, I think the way that his parents launched him into pro basketball because of their need for money, I think it created tremendous resentment and a tremendous public relations problem for him. He was viewed as this guy who was trying to cut line and, you know, trying to get in front of other people. And that wasn't just with fans. That was among veteran NBA players themselves. And as Rick Fox explained, it was a big issue with his Lakers teammates in those first two or three seasons. But, you know, this was a world that really wasn't of Kobe's making. It was more the motivation of his parents. Adidas paid him $300,000 on the side, and they needed that revenue. And, you know, his father, Joe Bryant, figured that the sooner you could get to the NBA, the sooner you could start making that pro-level money. And, you know, I think over time he's been shown to be right. I don't think there's a right and wrong in evaluating this. It just is. These are the facts. But I think the public viewed Kobe differently. I have to say that today, as a retired player, you see a Kobe Bryant who has ambitions in media and other things. But he is a person totally at peace with his competitive life. And, you know, the answer and the thing you're talking about, that people really shouldn't be able to criticize him, because of anyone who's ever entered the NBA, there are a select few who have done absolutely everything possible to compete. You obviously can think of the great Jerry West. You can think of Jordan. There are a couple of guys there in Utah that come to mind, and Kobe Bryant is another one of these people who there was nothing left undone, no sacrifice unmade. And it cost Kobe in many ways. But, you know, I think he's a complete piece. I really do, by virtue of making the effort he made.
What's your favorite era? When you go back and you read the book or you look over the book, now that it's been published, it's out, people talk to you about it. I know you do radio shows quite frequently talking about the book. what was your favorite Kobe Bryant era, your favorite aspect to write on?
Well, you know, I loved it all, but I love going to Italy and going to the small mountain village in Tuscany where he lived as a 9, 10, 11-year-old and tracking down people who were older, 14, 15-year-olds at the time, who were playing pickup basketball on this beautiful little mountainside court. And all they could talk about was how fierce Kobe was as a 10-year-old kid, that there was never a smile on his face, that he was so driven, and there was, you know, there was nothing but utter and complete seriousness about his competing. There was obviously somewhere behind that mask, there was tremendous joy. But I really wanted to, in this book, I wanted to go find the organic Kobe. When I got to know Kobe when he was a rookie and forward, he was viewed as an interloper. He was viewed as a faker, someone who was faking his life to be like Michael Jordan. That didn't seem to jive with me, and I wanted to find independently all of these different people who had their experiences with him. And he is a born competitor, let's face it. You couldn't fake being like Jordan if you tried. And I think it just so happens that Jordan was this huge giant on the competitive landscape, and Kobe was a giant in the making. And he recognized that. And Jordan recognized that in Kobe and told me that personally. And Jordan had, you can tell when someone has a resentment or is sort of mocking, but Jordan had none of that in the conversations I had with him about Kobe. He obviously had deep respect because it was obvious all the work that Kobe had done to be what he was going to be.
Where does Showboat rank amongst your favorite works?
Well, my sister died the day I finished it. It was a brutal schedule with the publisher. It didn't need to be. It is a project in many ways I'm very proud of. In other ways, I didn't realize how sick my sister was. She had wanted me to come see her. I was writing 14 hours a day, literally 7 days a week, months on end, just a brutal schedule. And to have her pass unexpectedly the day I finished took me quite a while. I'm still not over it. You can hear my voice. And so it's hard for me to evaluate Showboat. It's still too painful for me to look at much.
Well, Roland, in my eyes, you're one of the great, if not the great, sports biographer of our time. I mean, I've enjoyed the work on Michael Jordan. I've enjoyed the work on the Kobe Bryant book. You also wrote about Stockton and Malone a while back, too, right? The Rise of the Utah Jazz.
Slim volume, but, you know, and also the great Jerry Sloan. What a tremendous competitive icon he was. Those guys really, as Sloan told me once years ago, he said, you know, it's a simple game if you lay your heart on the line every night. And that was the epitome. That was the credo of the Utah Jazz and Stockton and Malone. And those were such great fun teams to watch. And covering those finals between Utah and Chicago, that was just one of the peak experiences of my life.
You know what's so fun about this, Roland, as we talk about Kobe and the direct correlation to Michael. There's a direct correlation to Michael and Stockton and Malone, but there's also a correlation to Kobe and Stockton and Malone because of the infamous air ball that he put up his rookie season against the Jazz, a couple of air balls he put up against the Jazz at home. It's just funny how we can connect the dots to these NBA legends.
Right. The Jazz abused the Lakers like the Pistons abused the Bulls with Michael. And so they both sort of played a major role in the wedding of the stone and sharpening those teams into something. And, you know, a lot of just the fact that Kobe could shoot those air balls and recover, that was the first indication of the tremendous strength of character and personality he had.
Roland, it's a pleasure as always to get you on the show. I really appreciate you making time for us. You're also a terrific follow on Twitter as well, so please let the listeners know where they can keep tabs on you and follow your work.
It's at Lazenby, at L-A-Z-E-N-B as in boy, Y. And Jordan, I can't thank you enough for the kind words.
It's definitely my pleasure, Roland. Hopefully we can get you on again in the very near future.
Don't hesitate. Thank you, Jordan.
Fantastic. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.